From KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Maggie Wall. There's been a lot of big cuts to Alaska state government, but the Department of Fish and Game fares better than most. A new boat registration law went into effect in January. Unfortunately, the state did not do a good job of letting fishermen and boat owners know about it. If you've got a motorized vessel that's 24 feet or longer, you likely need to register it with the Alaska Department of Motor Vehicles. And an unusually large number of pink salmon washed up dead in Norton Sound earlier this month. It has locals and biologists wondering what's going on. All that coming up on this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report, right after this.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
Commercial fisheries have fared far better than most other state sectors in terms of Governor Mike Dunleavy's budget cuts. Doug Vincent Lang is the commissioner of the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
To give the governor credit, he recognized the return on investment. And it's a theme that I had all the way through the legislature is we basically take a $200 million budget, of which about $50 million is UGF, and we turn that into an $11 billion return to our state. And I think he got that.
Alaska Fish Radio's Lainey Welch has more on the fisheries cuts.
The Commercial Fisheries Division budget of $85 million, of which about half is state general funds, reflects a nearly $1 million hit. How it will play out is not definite yet, and Vincent Lang is trying to avoid staff cuts. Also on the chopping block are various research projects, such as Prince William Sound's Tanner Crab Surveys, along with salmon weirs at Kodiak and Chignik. Vincent Lang agreed that having fewer assessments from salmon counts or stock surveys will increase precautions.
We're going to work with local user groups up there to find out whether there's ways to partner to get some of that work done, but clearly, anytime you reduce your forecast ability, you become more precautionary in your in-season management approach.
Forming partnerships to fund research is the path forward for Alaska's fisheries, the commissioner says, instead of being solely dependent on state dollars. The biggest challenge facing Alaska's seafood industry right now, he says, is trade tariffs.
Me talking to processors, they are uncertain as to the economic viability of delivering their product and getting it onto the shelves of their consumers.
That report was provided by Alaska Fish Radio's Lainey Welch.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs, 1-800-992-4960, or online at alaskaboat.com.
A law that went into effect on January 1st of this year has had boat owners across the state scrambling to get their vessels registered with the Department of Motor Vehicles. Senate Bill 92, which was passed by the Alaska Legislature in 2018, was signed by Governor Bill Walker in October of that year. Also known as a Derelict Vessel Act, it requires all boats, barges, sport fishing guide boats, and tenders over 24 feet in length to be registered with the Alaska DMV, unless specifically exempted. This includes boats registered with the Coast Guard, as well as those registered with the Commercial Fishing Entry Commission. Kavitha George in Kodiak has details.
Undocumented vessels, meaning those that aren't registered with the Coast Guard, were already required to be registered with the state of Alaska. SB 92 adds that registration requirement for documented vessels as well. On top of that, undocumented vessels are also now required to be titled through the DMV. Registration costs $24 for both documented and undocumented vessels and stays valid for 3 years.
One of the big problems we've always discussed was a boat shows up on the beach, you know, on city property somewhere, whether it's Kodiak or Juneau or Ketchikan, and it's almost next to impossible to find out who the current owner is.
That's Kodiak Harbor Master Derek Magnuson. He says having a clear paper trail of titles and registrations filed with the state of Alaska will help to keep boat owners accountable for their vessels. SB 92 was proposed as a way to address the growing number of derelict vessels in Alaska's harbors. State Senator Peter Michicki of Soldotna, who sponsored the bill, says that harbor masters from all over the state came to him in support of it. But even though it's technically been in place since the beginning of this year, it's run into speed bumps in the implementation. Here's Michicki.
I think the bill is important. I think it's good legislation, but I think the rollout has been less than stellar. Let's put it that way.
In large part, he says that's because the outreach and awareness efforts to tell vessel owners about the changes weren't sufficient. The rollout has also received criticism from groups like United Fishermen of Alaska, who sent a letter last month to the Dunleavy administration asking that implementation of the law be delayed. UFA argued that the state's boat owners weren't given enough time to comply, nor were they even really made aware of the new law after it had gone into effect. The letter also cites DMV offices being closed in places and offices running out of the right forms or sticker decals, adding to the confusion. Marla Thompson, director of the DMV for the state, says that they had to create new processes to accommodate the regulations and that the bulk of the challenge comes with educating the public.
I think we might have struggled a little bit in the first few days of when we were getting more people coming in that we weren't maybe expecting, but it's just a new process, and we had provided training for everyone before this season, and because we had to change the way our system worked to do the titling.
The Dunleavy administration declined UFA's request to delay rollout until June 2020, but in an emailed response to the organization last week, Department of Administration Commissioner Kelly Shibaka said law enforcement officers would exercise discretion with vessel owners out of compliance in the near term, generally issuing warnings instead of a more serious penalty. In Kodiak, I'm Kavitha George.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans, on the web at alaskaseafood.org.
Norton Sound residents have reported salmon die-offs in unusually large numbers. According to the Norton Sound Economic Development Corporation, dead pre-spawned pink salmon were found in multiple river systems early in the month. The Economic Development Corporation's Fisheries Research and Development Director, Wes Jones, says the numbers of humpies being reported are larger than what's normally seen in the Norton Sound region, spreading across several communities from east to west.
There's been reports from all the way from here in eastern Norton Sound all the way over to the Nome area. And it's a very widespread area. The big change is that it appears that it's a much bigger event happening in eastern Norton Sound than what you're seeing as you get closer to the Nome area.
One of those reports was from Sophia Kachetag, the community coordinator for the native village of Shaktulik. Kachetag took her family up the Shaktulik River to swim and cool off from the excessive heat. She found a creek with, quote, one area completely filled with dead pinks floating on top of the river, unquote. Based on Kachetag's observations, they look to be healthy fish without signs of disease. She said she's never seen something like this, with so many humpies dying before it's naturally time for them to spawn. There are multiple possible explanations for the salmon die-off, but Jones says the main drivers are most likely warmer water temperatures and a high concentration of fish. According to Jones, the Shaktulik River Weir counted about 1 million pinks through the river on July 10th alone. That amount is almost double the number of pink salmon previously recorded for that date. Rick Toman, a climatologist with the University of Alaska Fairbanks, confirms the water temperatures in the Norton Sound have been above average, and there's no signs of cooling off.
More immediately impactful will be water temperatures in rivers are thought to be very high right now, and that could have potential impacts on salmon spawning. As water gets warm, it holds less oxygen, and that potentially becomes a problem.
The Norton Sound Economic Development Corporation plans to collect more data on water temperature and dissolved oxygen levels to help confirm the possible cause of the pink salmon die-offs. According to the corporation, this is another example of what could be a larger ecosystem shift in the Norton Sound brought on by warming waters. Jones says it's natural to see salmon die-offs, and pink salmon populations crash eventually. But losing this many humpies early in the spawning season could be the tipping point.
The pink numbers are going to go down at some point. Will this push them down farther? But I think where it does have, and on specific rivers, this is going to be the trigger that makes the population go down for a while.
Jones emphasizes that during a time when unusual mortality events and changes are happening in the region, it's important to be vigilant and report those observations to the Norton Sound Economic Development Corporation or to the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. And just a quick note before we finish the program, fishermen who are hoping to receive checks as part of the 2016 Pink Salmon Disaster Fund should be seeing some type of correspondence about distribution later this month. That's according to the webpage, which was set up to keep fishermen notified of what's happening. The page is part of the Pacific States Marine Fisheries Commission website. The commission is working with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game to get the paperwork to fishermen. Yet to be determined is a deadline for return of that paperwork in order to be considered for payment. Earlier this month, Commission Executive Director Randy Fisher said that in developing a deadline for applicants, they were taking into consideration the fact that many of the fishermen who qualify for the pink salmon money are out fishing salmon this summer.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, supporting conservation and harvesting of Alaska's wild, sustainable fisheries.
That's it for this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from Dave Hovey at KNON in Nome, Alaska Fish Radio's Lainey Welch, and Kavitha George here at KMXT. Good luck fishing, everyone. And remember, life vests really do save lives. They really do. Use one. And definitely be sure to have a life vest on your kids anytime they're near the water. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Maggie Waugh.